Well, good evening, one and all, and welcome to our Wednesday evening church service on this 14th day of December 2016. Welcome to those listening on the phone, those listening to the recording of tonight's service, and we're glad to have you in fellowship with us tonight. Sweet Holy Spirit is our opening hymn. And you can find the lyrics on our website at lightministries.com in the home church section under hymns. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. We are all bound together through thy grace, and it's all through the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this gathering place. And amen, sweet Holy Spirit indeed, that not only leads and guides us into all truth, but indeed unites us in Christ with his divine power and godly love. So welcome, dear ones. And before we get into our study for tonight, let us please bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you that you are in control of all things. Thank you, Father, for your many and wonderful blessings, also for your corrections, and for your long suffering to each one of us. Thank you for forgiving us through the precious blood, merits, and righteousness of our Savior, and accepting us in the Beloved. And thank you so much for allowing us to come back home and to be with you. We give you full control, dear Father, of this meeting. Please have your atmosphere of light, love, and glory all around each heart that's here listening. We also pray, dear Savior, that thy presence will be here. And please fill our hearts with your love, light, and truth, and righteousness. And dear Spirit, we also plead that thy presence will be here to lead and guide us into all truth and to also reprove us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. And thank you so much for doing so. Please be with all of those who have requested prayers, whether spoken or unspoken. And thank you so much for hearing, for comforting, for encouraging and strengthening and guiding all of thy sons and daughters around this world. We also pray that you'll be with the meetings that are taking place, and please give traveling mercies to all of those who are attending, especially the speakers. Be with them in a special way and empower their words. And also, open the hearts of those whom you are drawing to these meetings, that they may indeed partake of the bread of life and be born again. Again, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, tender love, and for being in control. And thank you that we're a day closer to your return. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So good evening, one and all. And we're continuing in our study book of Romans. And we're down to verse 26. We left off with Paul admonishing the Christians and the believers, as well as us today, that we hope for the coming of our Lord and for eternal life with him. And with patience, we wait for our Savior to come and for this reward to be granted us, all because of our Savior's sacrifice and the love of God. So let us continue in well-doing, in long-suffering, enduring persecution and trials of our faith, and to fix our hope on the soon coming of our Lord and spend an eternity with him. And then let us be patient, enduring whatever the Lord allows to come our way, that we may indeed grow in grace and more into his likeness and character. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 26. And again, if you have any comments, any questions, any thoughts, please feel free to put them in the room in text or to take the mic and speak to us all. So verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now notice it says also. So the Spirit helps our infirmities, or our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our faults. He strengthens them. But it says also, so there's someone else who is doing the same. Someone else who is also helping our infirmities. And who's that? Any ideas? Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is also helping our infirmities. And amen. The Father is sending the angels to help our infirmities as well, to bear us up, to lead and guide us. But we see here that just as the Father is a person to help in our weaknesses, and just as Jesus Christ is a person to also help in our weaknesses, so then the Holy Spirit also has to be a person, an entity, a being to help our infirmities. So the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, continuing, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we don't know exactly what we should pray for. Sometimes we become very self-centered and we're praying for all of these things to come to us. But the Father sees that they're not for our good. And the Spirit also sees that it's not for our good. So then the Spirit maketh intercession before God for us in the areas that we don't understand we should pray for as we should understand. Now, it says the Spirit itself. It didn't say the Father's Spirit, because that wouldn't be the Spirit itself. That would be the Father. And it didn't say Christ's Spirit, because that wouldn't be the Spirit itself. It would be Christ. But the Holy Spirit itself, showing that the Spirit is indeed a third different person, being, and God in the Godhead. And part of His work in our salvation is to intercede for us with prayer before the Father. Now, there's a question in the room that says, how can you groan without making a sound? Well, that's a good question, but here it's talking about the Holy Spirit, which we know to be God. Not God the Father or God the Son, but a God in and of Himself. And so the groanings that He makes before the Father is not the same as our understanding of groaning. It would be in the language that God understands, in the language of God. So He adds to our prayers before the Father those things which we cannot hear, because it's in the language of God. And God understands it. And God grants it. Because the Spirit never does anything that is contrary to the will of God. So the Spirit itself, now notice it didn't say Himself. And obviously it didn't say herself. So then the Spirit is not a human being that is either male or female. The Spirit is God. Now, when Christ was born, He was born a male human being in the image of His Father. And God is called the Father, but God is not human. God is a Spirit. The Lord God Michael was a Spirit before He became human. In other words, He was not human until He was born into humanity. So, don't be led astray or confused when it refers to the Spirit sometimes as Himself and then other times as itself. Because all that is saying is that the Spirit is not human. And the Almighty is called God the Father because He was the Father of Jesus Christ when He was born into humanity. So we understand things through a human perspective, but with God not being human, we can't attribute human actions to the Godhead. Now, Jesus Christ became human, so then we can attribute human actions to Christ. Question in the room, it says, so this is when the Spirit takes over for us and prays for us, and God's Spirit knows exactly what the needs are. And yes, to a point, because when you mention that the Spirit takes over and prays for us, it's not on the same basis as we just sit back and ask the Spirit to do all our praying for us. But this says that the Spirit maketh intercession for us through prayer. So when we pray to God, then the Spirit adds His intercession in these prayers. Christ takes our prayers, and as an intercessor through his blood, merits, and righteousness, purifies our prayers, mingling our prayers with his righteousness so that they are acceptable to God. So Christ also intercedes for us through his blood, merits, and righteousness as our high priest and intercessor. But the Spirit intercedes for us in a different way by adding to our prayers those things that we should be praying for, but because of our dullness of mind or because of other frailties and lack of comprehension, we don't see that we need to pray for it. And so praise God that we not only have Jesus as our intercessor, but we also have the Holy Spirit as our intercessor. And thus the things that we pray for before God are not only purified by Christ, but the Spirit adds to them for our benefit and welfare in this process of sanctification and salvation. So if there was no Holy Spirit, then even though Christ is purifying our prayers, we would not receive from God as much as we needed in order to be saved. And thus we might just be lost because we did not plead for God to help us in all the areas that we had true need for but didn't recognize it. So praise the Godhead for making possible our salvation.
Okay, good night, everyone. What about, so that means all the three, you know, Godhead, all of them are spirits, but when Jesus, I remember when Thomas asked him to touch him, and he said, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me as. So even though, so that's, he's a spirit, but he is like us, right?
Correct. Before the Lord God Michael was born Jesus Christ in humanity, he was spirit, just like the Almighty was and just like the Holy Spirit was, and even the angels are spirits. So that's just indicating that they are not human like us. They are spirit, non-human. But when Michael was born Jesus Christ, he now became human. So how about the other inhabited worlds that God created? They're not human like us, but yet they're not. Well, I don't know. I can't say they're not spirit. But they're not human like us. They're of a particular other type of body. But with God the Father and the Lord God Michael before he became Jesus Christ in humanity and the Holy Spirit, they are spirit. Not human. And so you can see that for humanity to rebel put God in a position of recognizing that he did not understand all the reasons for our rebellion. So in order for him to understand the reasons, and to show us that it is possible with his help to overcome sin, Jesus volunteered to become human. And that's why Christ is not only our Savior and Redeemer, he's also our judge. Because he understands humanity from a personal understanding. Not from being told, but by experiencing it. And so by experiencing all that we're going through when tempted, then Christ knows exactly how to deliver us from the temptation, because he resisted every type of temptation that Satan could throw against him and was victorious through the divine power that his Father gave him. So then by fleeing to Jesus in every time of temptation, then we have everything that we need in order to overcome that temptation through Christ, which strengthens us. And praise his holy name for doing so.
Well, in thinking back to creation, when it said that we were made in God's image, what kind of an image were they talking about? A human image? Because we were formed out of the dust of the earth. And I always assumed that we looked like God because he made us that way. But are you speaking that we are his image in spirit because that spirit was breathed into us?
Well, no, no. When God created mankind, he says that we were created in his likeness and in his image. So the two different terms, likeness and image, even though they're similar, do not mean the same things. We were created not only to look like God in form, but also to act like him in character or in image. So the Father has two legs, two arms, a core body, and a head. He has two eyes, two ears. So we were formed in the likeness of God in bodily form, but also with the capability of imaging him in character or acting just like him. But be that as it may, God is a spirit. Even though he has a form, he is still a spirit and not human. And the same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a form, but he is not human, and he's also not limited to any particular form. Now, Jesus Christ, when he became human, is now limited to his human form, and he's no longer spirit. So Christ was willing to give up the ability to be everywhere at once, omnipresence. So that he could provide for us salvation. Now there's another question. Can angels take on different forms? I know that they're created with wings. Some of them have three pair of wings or six wings. Others have two pair or four wings. But they can also appear as human beings without wings, because the Bible brings up several instances in which angels were there and they didn't have any wings. They looked just like ordinary men. You know, the two angels that went to Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't have wings at all, or they would have been recognized as not just ordinary human beings, but as angelic beings. So angels are able to appear as you and me without wings, even though they have wings. Now, as to how that is possible, I don't know. I just accept what the Bible brings out. Now, Lucifer and his fallen angels also have wings, but they can appear as ordinary men. So as to how that's possible, I can't tell you. Question in the room, it says, that's why he said he would send the Holy Spirit to administer to us when he returned to heaven. Yeah, and that's true, because Christ can use the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit in order to be with us wherever we are, because Christ can't be with us any other way. When he took humanity, he also took the limitations of humanity. And thus, if Christ is in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, which he is, then he can't literally be with us now in spirit, because he's no longer spirit. He's now a human. But through the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit, Christ can be with us at all times. And that's why the Holy Spirit is called at times the Spirit of Christ. Not that the Spirit is Christ, but that the Holy Spirit brings Christ to us. And it's the same with the Father. The Father himself can't be with us because we'd be destroyed by his brightness. Sin is consumed in his presence. So if the Father was literally here in our midst, we'd all be destroyed. But the Father can use the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit in order to be with us. And that's why at times the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Father. But the Spirit is not the Father. The Spirit is himself a different person, a different being, a different God other than the Father and Jesus Christ. So when we look at verse 26 here of Romans 8, Paul is specifically talking about the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit does in regards to our salvation. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So Christ helps our infirmities, the Father helps our infirmities, and the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Showing that the Spirit is itself, or himself, his own entity, not an essence, but his own person. And Paul makes that even more plain by coming down and says that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. And his intercession for us before the Father is through prayer. He indicts our prayers and pleads for us before the Father the things we know not how to plead as we ought to. So praise all three gods of the Godhead for making possible our salvation through their own office work in our behalf. So amen, dear sister. That's why Christ said that he would send the Holy Spirit when he went to heaven, and thus Christ could be with all of his people around the world through the omnipresence of the Spirit.
I just want to say that they all work together. One uphold the other, and the other, you know, they all work in harmony with each other for the salvation of man.
Amen. They're all united together as one, not in one, but as one to make possible our salvation. So when you read in 1 John 5:7, I believe, that these three are one. It's not talking about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit being one God, and thus you have God shared or split into three different people. But you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three gods united together as one to make possible our salvation. And Paul brings this out in the next verse, verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts, or God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he, or the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So they're all in unity with one another, but they're not all the same. But yet their unity, their combining of their work together in harmony with one another makes possible our salvation. So just the example of the Godhead shows God's people here on the earth that they are also to be united together as one to make possible not only their salvation, but the salvation of others. And that's why the devil is so earnest to prevent unity from taking place among God's people. Because if he can keep God's people divided and bickering and arguing among one another, then they don't rightly and correctly represent God to the world. And if they don't rightly and correctly represent God's character to the world, then the world can't be saved because they don't have the knowledge that they need to be saved. The devil has thousands of different groups of people that work for him. And they're all trying to be number one. And so you have all of these inner fightings among these thousands of different groups, all trying to outdo the other so that they can be the best. And so if God's people that are made up of different groups, different institutions, different organizations, different home churches, are all fighting among one another, then they're not giving any different example to the world than what they're already accustomed to seeing. And so then the people of the world aren't going to listen to the teachings that we bring forth because they don't see any light in it, since our example is no different than the world. So as long as the devil can keep God's people fighting among themselves, he wins. But as soon as God's followers put away their differences and focus upon Christ and not one another, focus upon Christ and come together for the good of the work and the salvation of souls, then a completely different example is shown to the world, and they will take notice of the message that we're preaching because it's so completely different in example than what they see in the world. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Unity. Because when he comes into our midst and we allow him to work within us, he tones down all of pride and selfishness and self-exaltation and crucifies it within us so that Christ and peace might be revealed instead. And with Christ and peace ruling in our hearts, we have nothing to complain about of other individuals who have Christ and peace in their hearts. And thus we have unity. But I tell you, dear ones, if you want to find out who is truly working for the Lord and filled with the Holy Spirit, then talk about this subject of unity, and you'll be very amazed how many people are not filled with God's Holy Spirit, even though they claim to be. John 17 is a very powerful prayer of Christ. It's the very last prayer he prayed with his disciples before he was crucified. And a great amount of Christ's last prayer is devoted to his people becoming one in unity, as close as Christ was united with the Father. And we know that his unity with the Father was inseparable. May we indeed allow the Spirit to work within us a transformation so that we can fulfill Christ's prayer and show to the world the gospel of salvation that they so desperately need, because they see Christ revealed.
When you said the last prayer that Christ said on the cross, that forgive them for they know not what they do, is that the last prayer?
No. The last prayer that Christ had with his disciples is found in John 17. The very last prayer that Christ spoke was on the cross. And that was not for his disciples. That was for those who were crucifying him. But the last prayer that Christ had with his disciples is found in John 17. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions? A comment in the room, it says, "The Spirit knows what is in the heart of man." Very true. Very true.
I was just thinking, too, that sometimes we don't say thank you for all the blessings that we have. And sometimes we think when something negative comes our way, it's not a blessing, when actually it is a blessing in disguise. And I think, too, that the Holy Spirit talking to God tells him those things, that we really are thankful. And when time passes, we do see that what we thought was a curse was actually a blessing.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, other times, we're pleading with God to increase our faith, or to give us more grace, or to help our walk with him become stronger. And sometimes we tend to think that all God has to do is like provide us a energy drink or something that we drink, and all of a sudden our faith is now twice what it was before we drank it. But how God increases our faith is to put us in, or allow us to go into, situations that try our faith. And so we may be entering into these situations and not recognize what's taking place, but the Spirit knows what's taking place. And thus the Spirit can plead with God for extra eyesight, discernment, extra patience, extra long-suffering, extra grace, divine power to help us through this time. And those things we should be praying for, but we may not recognize our needs. And thus, if we don't pray for God to strengthen us to meet this testing of our faith, we're going to fail. But the Spirit recognizes our needs and pleads for God to grant us greater strength, more patience, more divine power. And God grants the request. And that's how we were able to overcome, even though we didn't recognize we needed extra help for that period of time. So without the Holy Spirit itself pleading for us before God, interceding, adding to our prayers those things we need most that we don't recognize, we wouldn't be overcoming and we wouldn't be as far advanced as we are in the walk with God. We'd be way back at the beginning. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us so many times. And forgive us for not recognizing all that you do for us. Amen. Comment in the room, it says, the Holy Spirit is a good friend to have. Amen indeed. And the Spirit doesn't speak of himself. He represents Christ to us. He brings to our mind's attention the words of Christ, the inspired words found in the Bible and the Spirit of prophecy. And Christ, when he was on the earth, didn't speak of himself either. He spoke of the Father, whose representative Christ was. So Christ sacrificed his own interests for the good of the Father, for the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is sacrificing its interests for the good of Christ as well as the good of the Father. So when you talk about humility among the Godhead, even the Father is humble because he was willing to sacrifice everything that he had in Christ in order for us to be saved. So when we look at the Godhead, we see love, we see humility, we see long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, as well as justice. So the more we look at God, the more we're going to be changed into their image, into righteousness. And the same will happen with the world if we correctly follow the example of the Godhead. Amen. Praise the Godhead indeed. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions? Please feel free. Well, let's open it up to a season of prayer. And any that would like to pray, please feel free. And I'll go ahead and close.
I just want to say thank you to God for the blessings and everything that happens during this life to strengthen me. And I'm thankful for this chat room and Elder Robert's ministry. And I think we are very singular in God's mind, and for someone to give up their life so another could live speaks of a love that maybe we can't even understand. Thank you, God, for each breath we take during the day, and help us to seek out someone else that we can share this good news to, and to have a song in our hearts for everything. Forgive us where we've failed, and help us to take a different route so we don't go there again. And thank you, Lord, for doing this. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit can add whatever needs to be added to let God know that we really are grateful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy infinite love, thy watchful care, thy guidance, for your interest in our lives, and for seeking us and calling us back home through all the agencies that you have doing your will. We thank you, Savior, for all that you have done and are doing in our behalf to break us away from the bondage to sin and the devil and this world, and to set us free in the truth, and for giving us the example of how to overcome in your grace and strength. And thank you, dear Spirit, for working within us and making possible this transformation by bringing our Father and our Savior to us, and for reproving us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment, for interceding for us in prayer before the Father, as well as for leading and guiding us into the truth. We also thank you, dear Savior, for being our comforter. And it is indeed a comfort to know that you are yoked together with us in everything that we go through and endure, and that in your grace and strength we are more than conquerors because of your love. And we thank you, Spirit, for being another comforter to us. And thank you so much for pricking our hearts when we're about to do wrong, and also showing us your approval in our hearts when we do right. Thank you for using our conscience to reach us. And please continue to work within us that we might be saved. Father, again, please be with all of those who have made requests or revealed their petitions, whether verbally or silently. Especially be with those in sickness and sorrow, those enduring grief. And thank you so very much for giving us thy word that does indeed bring comfort to us. Thank you, dear Godhead, for your great love, and we love you too. And please increase our love for thee, that we will be willing to put away our differences, that we might be filled with the Spirit and reveal in unity and love the gospel of salvation. Be with us now as we part, and please keep us safe and bring us back together again soon. In Jesus' precious name, Amen.
I wanted to ask, I just find out on Sunday, I remember when I was living in North Carolina, do you remember the massacre that happened in Uwanda in 1994? Well, I just find out that who was responsible for those murders was the Seventh-day Adventist. He was the minister or the pastor of that church, and his son is in New York Times. I was so sad.
That is sad indeed. And I'm not familiar with that article. You said it just came out in the Times. But how sad indeed.
It's in New York Times, and that happened in 1994, and I saw the article. If you go to Google, it's right there, and it says, I think they, in 2003, they convicted the pastor and his son. And it's like a lot of people, you know, it was like over 100,000 that died, but he was in charge of a church building, and he led all those people come, you know, some of the people to have shelter, because I think the Hutus or some other tribe was trying to get them, and then he allowed them to you know, men, women, and children. So that was really sad. Seventh-day Adventists did that. I couldn't believe it. Their own people. Because that was the Seventh-day Adventist church. Their own people. By the way, Sister May is the one that showed it to me. And she told me, and I went and looked for it. And it was true.
Wow. I can see how that could make you quite upset and sad about it. Dear Sister May, if you could send me the direct link to that Times article, I'd appreciate it. LightMinistries@Tarragon.com. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any songs you'd like to sing or testimonies that you'd like to give? Please feel free.
I'm going to try this song. I don't know if my voice will hold out, but it's Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Do you feel like singing the second verse?
My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where those abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to live above the world. Through Satan's doors of me I heard. For faith has quite joyful sound, the song ascends on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith of heaven's tables land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. That was beautiful. And thank you so much, dear sisters. Well, dear ones, is there anything else you'd like to share before we close tonight's service? Please feel free. Comment in the room says, as was the custom, they sang a song and left. Yeah, they did. They did. And praise God for allowing us to gather together and to sing praises to the glory of our God. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Keep looking up. Keep advancing in the knowledge of the truth and in character perfection by looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again in just a couple days. May God protect you from the wintry weather that is claiming much of the U.S. for this week and maybe into next week. And it's a privilege to be your brother in the faith. So good night, dear ones, and I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Said Jesus, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-34, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So may God bless, dear ones.